It's time for the Financial Cafe, airing every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on 88.7 WSIE The Sound. Today's show is underwritten by The Chef Shop, your hometown kitchen accessory store, where a good cup of coffee starts every day right. The views expressed at the Financial Cafe are those of the hosts and do not represent the views of Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, the SIU Board of Trustees, or WSIE Radio. Securities offered through Nickel Investors Corporation at No. 1 Executive Park, Granite City, Illinois, member FINRA and SIPC.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
I'd be rich.
And now, welcome to the Financial Cafe and our hosts, Larry Lexo and John Graney.
Good morning, John Graney.
Good morning, Larry Lexo. Well, I am back.
Welcome back. You were gone?
Very nice. Very nice. I shouldn't have seen that one coming.
Had to throw that one out there.
Yep. Just like they said in that movie, they're back.
It's back.
He's
here
back.
He
yes,
he
I am done. My world travels would be overstating it. My domestic travels, unfortunately, this year, we usually try and do two vacations during the summer, and with family calendars and all that, it got kind of bunched into a short time period, so we had 2 weeks of vacation over a three-week period.
Life but is good.
Life was good, but life now back good to reality, time to get to work, and not much has changed since I left, though.
Well, let's talk about a few things that I have, and we did our best. I think we held down the fort as
market,
much as possible.
Market's hitting all-time highs. I think I'd need to go on vacation again.
Well, if that would benefit us, that would be good. But first I want to talk about the Chef Shop. While you were gone, one of the things that had occurred, the Chef Shop, of course, underwriting the show, the Financial Cafe here in WSIE-FM, 88.7 The Sound, they were named an industry all-star. I mean, we knew that Nancy and Scott were all-stars, but they have additional recognition now. Not only did we help celebrate the 20th anniversary back in May, but there is a magazine called The Gourmet Insider. I know you've got that on your table at home, John.
Right. Yeah.
Right, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Gourmet Insider. It's a big deal in the industry. They were selected for many reasons, but mostly because they are risk takers. They took a chance on learning several new businesses over the past few years, such as the finer points of fudge and popcorn making. And
they succeeded there.
Yeah, they have succeeded. Popcorn, fudge, and coffee. Obviously, we review a lot of the coffee. But congratulations to Scott and to Nancy being named a top award winner, an all-star for the Gourmet Insider magazine. Yay!
That was my best sound effect I could do for a cheer.
That was pretty bad, but okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so congratulations to them. For those of you who haven't been out there, it's summertime. If you're not barbecuing, you need a big green egg because they have those at the Chef Shop. They're at 2320 Troy Road, Edwardsville, Illinois, 62025, located in the Schnucks Plaza right next to Target. Give them a call. Stop by. They have lots of sales going on. Heck, we're into the middle of July, and it is hot out there. So hot that it's time to get a big green egg and barbecue.
Speaking of the green egg, my brother has a green egg, and I had, you know, Scott's, when he told us the expression, the egghead, for the people that have eggs, they kind of have this own community and language that they speak. My brother came down when he was getting ready to use his green egg with a Keep Calm Egg On shirt. And I thought, Scott, if he's listening, would appreciate that being, and then on the back of the shirt, it said egghead. So there is truth to what Scott said. And unfortunately, my brother is one of them.
He is one of them. Well, I'll tell you, those who use the big green egg will swear by it, and they produce some pretty impressive results.
He had the best pork ribs and pulled pork. It was amazing. It was delicious, and it didn't take that long to cook.
All right, you're making me hungry now.
Me too.
Yeah, it's coming up. Let's see, what else is going on? While you were gone, we had Chris Slosser on. He is the treasurer for Madison County here in Illinois, and we talked about taxes, real estate taxes. First payment was due. Yeah, I made the payment, all of them. about 2 weeks ago. And the next one's coming up in September. And then there's two more payments till the end of the year. So for those of you who do own property, get those real estate payments in. The Illinois state budget passed, much to the chagrin of many people who were hoping for some real change. And
I think the budget passing kind of leads us down a path of if there's not reality, let's see how they stick to it.
Well, let's see how they stick to it. The thing that gets me is, you know, it's more the same. As we talked about, the five major pensions, teachers' pensions in the state of Illinois, are now going to be at about 32% funding. And, you know, they changed the way they calculate the funding requirement, that the actuaries use interest rate for predicting future values, and dropped that by as much as a half a point. So now they have to put more money into the state pensions to try and fund them. And that's just not part of the money being raised by the additional state tax that we have. So we have our job cut out for us, John, because as financial planners, one of the things that not only do we help people preserve and accumulate wealth, but to minimize taxes. So we're going to have to be taking a hard look at the way that people can put money away for retirement, particularly in 401k plans, and avoid, at least for now, the Illinois state tax of almost 6%.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's crazy. You know, for most of us who are business owners, it's just getting worse and worse. The other big news that is out there...
Our one-year anniversary?
Is our one-year anniversary. Thank you. That was good. Yeah, we did talk about that. This is the first
I missed
show.
It, but yeah.
Well, that's all right. We remembered you. And we talked a little bit about one-year anniversary, our first show, which is out there on the website, www.thefinancialcafe.us. You can go take a listen to that. That was about how do you choose a financial advisor. Now all even more important than before, because in addition to our one-year anniversary, all the talk is about the Department of Labor fiduciary rule. I was looking at one of the magazines that we follow in the industry today, Think Advisor. Barron's had something to say about it, as well as the Wall Street Journal and Fiduciary Benchmarks. All of the topics are about the fiduciary rule. Representative Ann Wagner from Missouri has put forth a bill to basically kill the DOL fiduciary rule, which is being
reviewed. Go Ann.
Yeah, well, she's going for it. She wants to.
I need to get my lunch back.
She wants to, yeah, well, you're going to work on it. Because she's swinging it if her bill proceeds and is accepted, and a lot of things have to happen, that it is going to swing back to the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and the best interest standard is going to remain intact and be applied to all investments, which only makes sense.
You know, and it's amazing that our politicians, something that is so common sense that any other industry, if you went to your doctor and your doctor said, well, this is suitable, but it's not in your best interest, would you continue going to see that doctor?
I'd be looking for a new one.
Exactly. So choosing investments, giving financial advice, how can it not be in the client's best interest? And that is the struggle that I have with this, because all this time, all this money is being spent on a concept that is common sense. It's how every other industry is run, and it's, I don't know, in some ways it's infuriating. In some ways I laugh, I cry, it became part of me. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous that we're at this point.
Well, we shouldn't even be having the discussion. I met with a young advisor yesterday who was seeking some counsel, and he came to
already?
Me. He came
He's
to
already
me.
Seeking counsel? Oh, boy.
He came to me, believe it or not, but he was seeking counsel about the fact that he's just getting mixed signals in our industry about some of the larger insurers, who basically think life insurance and disability insurance are the only thing that should be sold to every client, whether they need it or not. Mm-hmm. And he's a smart young man. He got his degree here at Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville, and he just thinks that's not right. So
good for him.
We had a long discussion about the industry and the right way to serve clients in their best interest. And he's going to be pursuing that. So A couple of the other quick stories on that, LPL, which is one of the major broker-dealers, I think they're the largest independent broker-dealer in the country today, and Raymond James, another one that is obviously a major player in the market, both of them are cutting advisor compensation.
Saw that. I saw that article.
They're eliminating bonuses. They're lowering overall compensation as a response specifically to the new fiduciary rule. They're dropping bonuses. They're dropping incentives as much as 1%. So if you look at a lot of these reps that are making significant income under the sale of financial products, cutting 1% off their income is pretty significant. So we're going to see some changes in the industry there. A lot of the funds.
A lot of these big brokerage houses and so forth are not allowing their advisors to do 401k plans and things like that because of the fiduciary rule. So, yeah, it is a total game changer. I think now that that this is out and is law, I think it's going to be very hard to unwind it now. They may make some modifications, but I think it's here to stay.
Oh, I agree. And as we have spoken many times, it is appropriate. You know, if you're not acting in the best interest of your client, then get out of the business, as far as I'm concerned.
Should have been out of the business long ago, but absolutely. At least now there are ramifications. There are some guidelines, which should have been common sense, like I said before. But
well, they are. And we're looking at some new software packages. This one, the title of this was a Wall Street Journal article by Daisy Maxey. Don't know Daisy, but she wrote an article that many of the funds are now squaring off in the post-fiduciary rule world because exchange-traded funds and actively managed fund mutual funds are all competing to the reasonableness as far as both reasonable compensation and fees. So a lot of comparisons are going to have to be done going forward to analyze exactly how you should be invested. A lot of things you may or may not have seen. And then dealing with the reasonable fees determined for plans and IRAs from fiduciary benchmark. A couple of people we follow pretty closely, Drinker, Biddle, Fred Reich, Bruce Ashton, whew, that's a mouthful, all reviewing the fiduciary rule and reasonable compensation. How do you determine what's reasonable? And there are a number of different approaches out there, but your advisor should be advising you that they are serving in a fiduciary capacity now if they're dealing with any type of retirement account, 401k, profit sharing, simple, IRA, SEP, whatever it happens to be, they are a fiduciary advisor. As such, they are held to a higher standard, a best interest standard. They have to disclose all potential conflicts of interest. They have to disclose their compensation as well as being a fiduciary advisor and the fact that it is reasonable and they are advising you to invest in things that are in your best interest and only in your best interest. So.
And to our plan sponsors, business owners, trustees of a 401k plan, this is going to be really important. You're going to need to make sure that your advisor provides a signed agreement saying, I am a fiduciary to the plan, and you're going to need to read that contract because there are many ways for these contracts to be written that at the end of the day, they may say, yes, I'm a fiduciary, but not in this circumstance, not in this. And it's going to go through this whole litany of stuff. And when you get done reading, you're going to look back at this person and go, well, what are you doing? Because they're going to have exempted themselves or limited their liability and so forth. So you want to make sure that you read that contract and that person is truly serving as a fiduciary to the plan like they should be. I think the days of people coming into this business and saying, oh, I'll be a financial advisor and make a quick buck are over because there are so many more commitments, designations, and things that need to be required, state testing, that a lot of people are going to say, it's just not worth it. And hopefully what's left are people that are truly in the business to serve their clients, to do what's best, and to pass on their knowledge and experiences to their clients to help them prepare for retirement or set up a retirement plan for their employees to help their employees prepare for retirement.
And speaking specifically about 401k retirement plans, there are those in the industry that work, particularly in the insurance side of the business, who try and use insurance products to satisfy all of the needs that the participant has. So if your advisor is one who uses life insurance, whole life in particular, to satisfy retirement needs, then I'd be asking some questions. I'd be looking at some alternate advisors. In fact, I was told yesterday that one of the major players, one of the top two major insurance companies in the St. Louis region, they have a group that only does some 401k plans. And the word was, as soon as that owner of that business retires in the next 5 years, that they are not planning on continuing to pursue that. That they're going to get out of the 401k plan business because of the fiduciary rule and their requirements.
Well, there was a lot of talk before this rule actually passed that the 401k world was going to go to the boutique niche type advisors that specialize in this business. And got a hole in your lip over there?
Mm-hmm.
Larry just took a drink of water, and I think some of it made it in his mouth. But
yeah, you know who gave me the bottle of water?
I'm back.
yeah.
So, two things. One, we have a new intern in the studio. My son Liam is with us.
He is.
And he is, and he just took off his shoes, and I can tell. Wow. But so anyway, it is my youngest daughter's birthday today. Happy birthday, Adeline.
Happy birthday, Adeline.
And she asked if I would sing happy birthday to her on the radio.
This should be good.
This ought to be good. Yep. There goes all of our listeners. They're gone. But happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Adeline. Happy birthday to you. Love you, sweetie. Happy birthday.
And there you have it.
My son has his fingers in his ears, and Larry is trying not to laugh very hard, so I will keep my day job.
Yeah, let's do that.
But a promise is a promise. And so anyway, my older two went to sleepover. Liam didn't want to be home for the birthday tea party with my daughter, so he is with us today. And that's it. It's going to be a good show.
We're having fun.
The In the Market segment, we have a couple other things to talk about real quick, but that is brought to us by Premier Fiduciary Services.
And Premier Fiduciary Services is exactly as the name implies. They provide fiduciary services to retirement plans. So if you're looking for someone to do benchmarking, that's a phrase in our business you don't hear all the time, but it is important, in fact, and required that qualified plans be benchmarked every couple of years, 2 to 3 years. Benchmarking simply does a detailed analysis of the existing funds. Are they the best funds? Do they meet certain criteria in each of the categories that you're offering to your participants? Are they the most competitive funds? Or are there less expensive funds available that would achieve similar results? It also compares overall administrative fees. So is your plan within the proper range? Are the fees on average less than similarly designed plans with the same demographics? So Premier Fiduciary Services, located here in Edwardsville, John Graney would be happy to talk to you about any of those services, benchmarking your plan, at least to put it in your file. So when the DOL and the IRS comes calling, because they will, and they ask for your fiduciary binder, don't look at them and go, "What?" That's not the answer they're looking for, believe me. So, and you have a legal obligation as a fiduciary to act first, foremost, and only in the best interest of your participants. So do your homework. Let Fiduciary Services, Premier Fiduciary Services, help you manage that process.
Well done.
Thank you.
So, a couple things. Treasury yields dip ahead of inflation data. And as Larry and I had talked about before, we did not see a situation where the Fed was actually going to be able to follow through with all their interest rate increases like they had talked about in the beginning of the year. And Janet Yellen said temporary factors were keeping a lid on consumer prices, but said that she would watch them very closely. Some market participants took this as a small concession that the weakening economic data may not just be transitory. Fed Governor Brainard had said that the trend could give them pause on another hike rate this year. So it looks like the Treasury is kind of coming out and saying, you know what, we may not have another rate hike this year. And as Larry and I had said, we actually were seem to be correct on that prognostication.
Well, we were correct, which happens at least probably 50% of the time. But it does speak to the fact that reaction to predicted moves in the market is probably not the best way to do it. You have to have a solid plan. You have to implement it. You have to stick to it and monitor it, because those folks who were convinced that the Treasury rates were going to continue to go up may have made moves in their bond portfolios, which now really weren't warranted, because if the we don't see any more rate increases, then it was not a very smart direction to head.
We had a couple rate increases, and I still think, and we had talked about keeping the bond in the short term, because it may not be this year, it could be next year. And, you know, maybe overweighting towards the short term certainly makes a little bit of sense, but in any situation, you never want to do wholesale moves. But another article I came across, and this one actually, it's so obvious that I'm surprised I missed it, but the best retirement advice from people who should know. Now, we are financial advisors. We provide retirement advice to our clients. We provide retirement advice to our participants. We help them prepare for retirement. But guess what? Neither one of us has actually retired. So Liz Weston went out and she interviewed many people that have already retired and said, okay, you've been retired for a few years. What would you have done differently? What are some of the things that you didn't really prepare for? And bullet point one here, you can't plan for everything. Well, that's kind of an overstatement. But yeah, there's absolutely a lot of truth to that.
Expect the unexpected.
Expect the unexpected. And, you know, I had a new client come on board, and I was out doing the individual meetings with the participants yesterday. And the younger ones, when we were going through kind of, okay, here's what you need to get me so we can put together a retirement sufficiency for you and make sure that you're saving enough and so forth, all the good stuff. I said, look, you're very young. We lay this plan out for you. The likelihood that this is actually how the rest of your life will fall into place and how your retirement's going to look is really, really small. And most of them looked back to me and said, well, then why are we doing this? And I said, because it is a lot easier to tweak something that's already been created than to create it from scratch. So, you know, you may say, well, I'm only 25. Why would I want to do a retirement plan? Well, if you get something in place and you have the plan laid out for you, it's a lot easier on an annual basis to make your little changes as you go along than to be 40, 45, 50 and say, oh, I need to have a retirement plan, and you're creating one from scratch. That is why we do this.
Two thoughts come to mind on
just
that.
Just two so far,
but I'm working on it.
Okay.
One is goes back to the basics of succeeding in anything you do. You have to have a written plan, have to have specific time frames and specific objectives. You have to implement the plan, and you have to monitor it, which is exactly what John's saying. Any plan is going to change. No matter what you put together today, it will change based on the world economy, based on your individual employment situation, based on your family situation. But that's where the monitoring and making changes along the way comes into play. And I got to love it. I was sitting down day before yesterday, I guess it was Wednesday, whenever it was, earlier this week with a participant in his mid-20s on a retirement plan that we work with. And we started calculating. The company does a safe harbor match. So if the employee puts in 5%, the company puts in 4%. They're at 9%. This particular young man, who is their technology specialist, wanted to do 10%. So 10 plus the 4 the company puts in, he's at 14%, which hits our range of 12 to 15% over your lifetime. But the neatest thing happened. He sat down and he started playing with a calculator. He's a techie guy, you know, a nerd. He started playing with a calculator and plugged in the numbers. And he said, you know, if I do that in 35 or 40 years, when I hit 65, I'm going to have X million dollars. He said, that'll be enough. So let's do it. But he took the time to actually go out and calculate it. And if you go on our websites, you know, there are some calculators out there that will allow you to put in how much you're deferring into the plan based on your salary as a percentage, what the match is that is being put in by your employer. You can factor in inflation rates, and we did talk about that, the real inflation rate versus the mystical one the CPI uses. factor in the number of years you have and come up with a number that is going to be reasonable to provide your retirement. And so getting back to asking people who are retired what they would do differently, this kid isn't retired, but he's starting off on a good foot.
Well, you kind of stole my thunder because the second bullet point was get your retirement house in order. So you have a little bit of clairvoyant skill there.
Thank you.
Another one, find an objective advisor. And that's a nice little segue back to what our first show was a year ago. They've let us stay on the air for a year.
Imagine that.
What to look for when you're looking for an advisor. And obviously you want your advisor to be objective. Everything should be done in your best interest. And you want to make sure that you have a proper retirement plan put in place. Some of the other, you know, I've always told people that it's much easier doing the planning, the calculations, coming up with the numbers to figure out how you can retire. What I think is more challenging for a lot of people is mentally preparing yourself for retirement. And this point here says, find ways to stay connected. Peggy Cabanis of California, she still stayed in her field, even though she sold her business, which was a business valuation type company. She helps other advisors learn how to do this. And her, one of her comments was that she loved what she did, but she didn't realize how much stress it was causing her. And after she sold the business and now does this work on a contingent type basis, and she's actually fully retired but still staying connected, her kids say, "Mom, you look so happy." She noticed that her shoulders aren't, you know, she isn't quite as tense as she used to be. You know, there is a lot of stress to continue working. At the same time, if you don't prepare yourself for retirement and find activities and things that you can do to keep yourself young, if you will, retirement can actually be pretty miserable. If all you're doing is sitting around and watching reruns and things like that, it can get kind of boring quickly.
Well, you can't retire from life. You can retire from work.
Oh, that was deep.
From employment.
Oh,
but
that was deep. Got that. You can't retire from life. Retire. I like that.
If you do,
you can get off the grid, but you can't retire from life.
Yeah, if you do, then, well, things are over. So, but you can't retire from life.
Yeah, there's only one way.
Yeah, there's only one way going out. But you can plan your retirement. And I always share this story. I don't think I have on the show before, so I will, about a retired military person that I work with, Air Force. Being close to Scott Air Base, run into a lot of those. Mm. And he retired at 55, and his goal in retirement was to play every military golf course in the country over that following 10-year period. I think at that time there were 40 of them, so he was going to play 4 a year for 10 years. And his wife did not play golf, but she loved the marketplaces that were close to the golf courses.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she loved that he was going to be gone. That was her retirement.
No, actually. We worked out a way that we calculated how much each trip was going to cost, how many days they were going to be gone. You know, so we had an idea how much he was spending, and we built that into the plan so that 4 times a year he could go to a different military base, play golf. She could go to the rummage sales and the flea markets and whatnot and do what she does, and they would have enough money. And I think at this point he's in about year 8 of that program and having a ball. So you got to have a plan. You have to continue to do something. If you love work, maybe you just need to get out of your primary profession and get into something that you can enjoy, whether it's volunteering or, as in the case of the story John related, helping other people do what you did, but without the pressure or the stress of day-to-day activities. So retirement can be great, and we just don't know. That's the other factor. How much time do we have? You know, there are many stories out there, and I know of some of people who have waited to age 65 or 66 or 67 to retire, and, you know, they only lived a matter of a month or two. So they waited obviously too long, but we don't know that. So you got to have a plan. You have to. You do have to factor in health. You know, what's the health history of the family? You know, if you have good longevity, and many of your relatives lived well into their 80s or 90s, then chances are pretty good, barring an accident of some kind, that you're going to have good longevity. So plan for it. And, you know, one thing you don't want to do is run out of money. Number one fear in retirement is running out of money. Number two is
too much retirement.
Too much retirement, not enough money. And number two is bad health. So, you know, that may relate to our next story, John.
You are.
We're on fire today.
You are on all cylinders.
I've been practicing while you were gone.
Obviously. Let's see. My departure has improved your radio skills. I don't know what that says about me. But the last one is for the end of market segment was exercise can make you more successful. And this is on both sides of the equation for those who are still employed and for those who are entering retirement. Exercise is a great natural way to ward off depression. And for our retirees who are not staying connected, who do not have a plan, who do not come up with or think about it as far as what do I want to do, how can I still stay relevant? Because, you know, I mean, Larry, you're a business owner. I'm a business owner. We put a lot into our company and it becomes a lot of our identity. And when we sell that off, a big chunk of us goes with it. And we may not feel that we have a purpose or any meaning, but by exercising, that helps ward off depression, and it will also help you come up with more goals to stay more engaged. You're going to be meeting a lot of people with your exercise and doing more things. That it's a great way or a great tool to help you make that transition and still stay relevant and fully enjoy either your retirement or if you are working. And if you are a business owner like Larry and I, your to-do list is pretty extensive. If you are working for a company, your to-do list, and if you have children, I mean, there's just lots of reasons why you need to stay engaged and stay active to accomplish these tasks and ward off depression. As our listeners know, I'm a type 1 diabetic. I do have bouts of depression that come with the disease. And when they hit, it is very debilitating. It does, you know, as this article talked about, sap your energy. All these articles that we just talked about in this segment can be found at marketwatch.com. So what we talked about was the Treasury yield dip ahead of inflation, the best retirement advice from people who should know, and exercise can make you more successful.
No doubt about it, because keeping busy in retirement is probably one of the most important things that you can do. Make a list of things that you just haven't gotten around to. You know, it's that old round to it. Well, if you haven't gotten around to it yet, make a list of those things, because many of those are what you can address in retirement. It gives you a good scorecard as to what you may be doing, as well as the retiree that I love is, you know, the person after 6 months or a year or a couple of years of retirement, I'm talking to them and ask them how it's going, and they're like, you know, I don't know how I ever had time to work, because I'm just so busy in retirement, I find myself coming and going, and, you know, I'm doing fun stuff and don't have the daily grind, and that's retirement that you want.
And that, you know, when you made that, describe that perfect retiree, my wife's aunt and uncle who live in Kansas City, that is them. I mean, these two people are in their mid-70s. They never stop. They always are doing something, whether it's golf or different groups. He goes to two different men's morning groups for breakfast that all these guys get together. A lot of them are golfing buddies and so forth. They do a lot with their church and charity. And I mean, it's just like, oh my gosh, why aren't you tired? But because they're so active and so forth, they have a whole lot of energy. So it's that is pretty neat to watch. And you're absolutely right. That is a great retirement picture.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Love it when a plan comes together. So anyway, July, even though we are now in mid-July, and
where does
July
the time
is
go?
Our children's month, and financial topics and so forth related to children. And we thought that the 529, or saving for college, was a great initial topic. And we will cover for the rest of the month topics related to children and so forth. But before we go into the actual savings for college, as Larry and I have mentioned many times, you have to take care of your retirement picture first. That's the first painting that you have to do. If you are not adequately prepared for retirement, do not save money for your children's college expense. I'll repeat that. I am not cruel, sadistic, or mean in any way, but do not put money away for college if your retirement picture is not painted yet. Why? Because your children can find scholarships. They can borrow money. There's things that they can do if they want to go to college. You will not be able to walk in a bank at age 65 or 70 when you retire and look at that loan offer and say, I want to borrow money for retirement. You're not going to get a favorable answer. So take care of your retirement first. And then if you have money left over, then you can start looking at some of these ways to save for college. Larry, any thoughts, agreement, or am I just a mean, horrible person? That's
absolutely true. And
thank you.
There are some parents who feel an obligation. I would say the baby boom generation.
Guilted.
Predominantly were guilted into. They felt that they maybe, I was really the first out of four in my family to go to college. So they helped. You know, they helped pay for tuition and books, but everything else pretty much was on me. I know John's related the story that he pretty much put himself through college. So, you know, kids, if they have the will, there is a way that they can accomplish that. And I do caution them, don't become college poor. You know, really assess what you're doing, what you're going into. You know, an Ivy League education is not necessarily going to buy you any more income, depending on your career and depending on where you're going in life. Because a good general education, you need the piece of paper. In most cases, unless you're going vocational, you need the piece of paper to open doors. But after that, the rest is up to you. So, you know, saving for retirement is number one. You have to get your priorities straight. You know, taking care of potential problems in the family that come up. You know, planning for the future in terms of preservation of assets, life insurance, disability. So you need a financial plan. It all comes down to it. And the new Department of Labor fiduciary rule does say that it's up to your planner to take into account all aspects of your financial future, your financial life. Mm-hmm. So,
and, you know, something my father had told me when I was getting ready to go to college was, why don't you go to a community college, a lot less expensive, and then after 2 years, transfer those credits over to the big name school that you want to have your degree from. And I looked at my dad and said, what do you know? Because at that point I was a know-it-all. And you know what? He was right. He was right. I should have gone to a community college, transferred the credits over, and then, you know, gotten my degree from the big name school that I got my degree from, but it would have cost me half as much money. So, but there are different ways that you can save for your child's education. It doesn't necessarily have to be college. It can be a trade school or any qualified institution. But it's called the 529 plan. States offer them. They are state-sponsored. Illinois has one, which is the Bright Start. Missouri has one, which is the Missouri Most. We'll talk about the Illinois one first. Pretty simple to get started. It's a simple setup. Application, you fill it out. Actually, Illinois has several that we'll talk about, but there's the Bright Start, which is direct sold. That's the one that we recommend, where you go and you set it up yourself. There is a prepaid tuition program, which we do not recommend. Many of those that have been enacted have gone under, given Illinois's, even though we passed a budget, given their situation, I can't imagine that would be, and it's not a highly rated one anyway.
Yeah, let's give them some more money so they can waste it.
There is the Bright Start Advisor Sold Plan, and we'll talk about that. There is also the Bright Directions College Savings Program, which is kind of a step above the advisor sold. But we'll talk about why you probably don't need either the advisor sold or the Bright Directions and pay those extra fees. We'll get into that. And then the last one is the Illinois ABLE, and that is for disabled children. Anyone under the age of 26, and we'll highlight some of those. But every state has the ABLE program. That was an act that was passed by the Obama administration. The act was 2013. It was passed in 2014, and we'll touch on that. But that is for children with disabilities and helping you save some extra money. So what is a 529 plan?
Well, a 529 plan is under the IRS code section 529. So
really?
if you want to look it up, there it is. And the way that it relates, it allows you to put away money. If you're doing Illinois' plan, then you do get a break on Illinois state tax if they haven't taken that away yet.
Not yet. And the website where you can get all this information is a great website. It's savingforcollege.com.
That makes sense. So the 529 allows you to put money away for college. It accumulates tax deferred and tax free as long as it's used for college expenses. It can be college, room, board, tuition, computer. There's a whole list of things you can use it for. But I'm going to take a step back, John, because before you start planning for college, you as parents have an obligation and need to kind of think about, as John said, what are you going to do? Are you planning on a couple years of junior college before they go to a full university? And if so, what are the expenses going to be related to that? So you have an idea of what your costs are going to be. And do you plan on funding some portion, half of it, a third of it, all of it, depending? Because that will then back into how much money you may want to put away in a 529 plan for college expenses.
Well, my eldest daughter, who just turned 12, indicated that she wants to be a doctor.
There you go.
Ouch.
8 years later.
Yeah. So I admire her for taking on that challenge or thinking that right now. But you look at these expenses for colleges, and there's an argument to be made. I mean, if you come out of college with $200,000 of debt right off the bat before you've got your first paycheck, and you just have a general degree, was it really worth it? If you are interested in woodworking or carpentry or so forth, you can go to a trade school, make a great living, and be debt-free when you get your first paycheck. So, you know, it's not that college is for everyone. These plans are not just for college. They can be for trade schools and things like that. But, you need to have those discussions with your children. And it's hard when you're young, when you're 18. I'll be turning 50 here, and I'm not sure what I want to be when I grow up. So
speaking of birthdays, John's birthday is this Sunday.
Yeah.
So if you're taking notes, you know, send all your cards and letters.
Condolences.
to him. So happy birthday, John, officially on here. I would sing happy birthday, but I'll forget that.
Yeah, I think one per show is our limit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
I know you have a much better singing voice. You sing in your church choir. I do not.
Oh, I think you did great.
Why are you laughing, Liam? Don't you be laughing at my singing voice. Okay, funny faces. So the Bright Start College Savings Program for the state of Illinois. Minimum contribution is $25 to get started. Subsequent contributions can be as low as $15. You can contribute up to $400,000 into the beneficiary's account. You can make contributions. Your spouse can make contributions. The tax deductibility is, I think I read $10,000. I always get these states confused. $10,000 for state. So there is no, or $20,000 for a married filing. So each person can take up a $10,000 deduction. That is for state taxes. There is no federal deduction on these plans. The Bright Start program is managed by Oppenheimer. And there are these pre-allocated portfolios. And this gets into why I was saying that you probably don't need an advisor for these types of plans. You give them your child's age, and they will. You can elect the age-based model. And from there, you can then select whether you want it to be the aggressive age or the moderate or the conservative. But it's age-appropriate. So that if you start saving for someone your child who is 1 year old, it'll be a portfolio that's ready at the age of 18 to provide the money for the next 4 years. So it's not going to be 100% stock portfolio at age 17. The market tanks, and guess what?
Yeah,
your savings plan just got cut in half. But I will say that the years ago when we were looking at these with our children, I was working in Missouri at the time, and we went with the Missouri Most program because the Bright Start at that time was not very strong and was kind of expensive, but the fees have come down, and actually the Bright Start program looks to be a pretty decent program now. The total asset-based expense ratio is anywhere from 17 basis points to 65 basis points. Like I said, it's easy to get started. You fill out the application. If you're going to go the age-based route, you can do this yourself, the direct sold. And then from you go to the savingforcollege.com website, and it will give you the links to fill out the application, do everything that you need. And you just figure out, you know, what you can financially afford to save to put some money away for their college or trade school or whatever it may be expenses. That is the direct sold. Any thoughts on that?
Well, the nice thing about that, I think two thoughts. One, you can set it up to automatically be funded from your bank account. So you can do automatic contributions into it that'll just happen regularly from when you set it up until you at some point determine to stop that. The other thing I like to point out to families is if there are other family members who are in that position that, you know, as some say, the kid's got everything. You know, it's a birthday, it's Christmas, it's a holiday, whatever it happens to be. I don't know what to get them, or, you know, you get them a game or something else, you know, just dance at a pile. But anyone can put money into a college savings plan. So grandma and grandpa don't know what to do. They can drop $100 or whatever they want into the college savings plan for the particular child. You do designate a primary beneficiary. However, the other nice thing about it is if you don't use the money for that particular student or you don't use all the money for that particular individual, you can change the beneficiary. So if you have multiple kids, you can set it up for the oldest and have a set amount put aside. And if they don't use it all, then it can go to the next oldest and so forth and so on. So multiple people can fund it, and you can have multiple people benefit from it as long as it is used for college expenses.
Very good point. The advisor sold is essentially the Bright Start program, but you're going to have to be working with an advisor, and there's additional fees, obviously, for that. The advisor will be paid if they're using an A share. Will be paid the commission out of that A share expense ratio, and again, that is your decision to make whether you want an advisor doing this for you. But as we mentioned, it's pretty. So it kind of gives you an idea. We were looking at the expense ratio for the direct sold range between 17 basis points and 65 basis points. The expense ratio for an A share. In the advisor sold program is 31 basis points to 97 basis points. Mm-hmm. On a C share, it's 31 basis points to 122. So you can see that there are an increase in fees.
Well, there's a cost. If in some cases people could diagnose and prescribe a medication for themselves, they would. But in most cases, they're not qualified to do that. So it is pretty easy to set up a 529 plan. So I think almost anybody can do the direct sold version. That's what I use and recommend for my clients because that's the right thing to do. They can do it.
It's in their best interest.
I'll even help them, the first time, help them go online and
fill out the application.
And fill out the application and get it done. I mean, you know, it's not worth paying me for something that they can do themselves with a little help. So I agree 100% with that.
But all the other provisions are the same as far as tax deductibility. None of that changes. It's just now there is an intermediary, that being an advisor, and the increase in fees. The Bright Directions College Savings Program are sold through brokers and fee-based financial advisors, features an extensive multi-manager platform offering a large number of age-based, static, multi-fund, and individual fund options. To find a financial advisor in your area, they provide a directory. The fees for this service range for a Class A share from 34 basis points to 169 basis points.
There really is no reason to do that.
Class C share, 34 basis points to 194 basis points.
You're wasting money.
All right, so if you're saying, John, What is a basis point? If you're paying 194 basis points and your investment earned 10%, your child's account received 8.06. That's how it works.
It's a big hit.
So that's what these fees are. Again, nothing changes. We only have 10 minutes left? Wow. Okay. Nothing changes with, there's no other added tax benefits by choosing an advisor or using the multi-manager platform. So again, as we have mentioned, it's very easy to direct sold. As advisors, that's what we provide our clients. I don't have any 529 accounts. The prepaid tuition program, my best advice, and in lieu of time restraints,
don't
worry
do it.
About it. Pass. That was in unison.
Just don't do it.
Okay. So what is this ABLE, the ABLE Act?
That's a new one on me. I had not had any disabled.
I don't have any disability. I don't have any special needs trust clients or anything like that. So, but it was an act that was passed. ABLE accounts are tax-exempt savings accounts for individuals with disabilities and their families. Income earned by and contributions made to the account are not taxed. So essentially, you would be setting up a 529A account for ABLE. And if you have a child with a qualifying disability and they have that disability before they are the age of 26. So you could have a child who is 30 years old and they will still be eligible if you're making your first claim for this. They will still be eligible for these benefits as long as you can document and prove that your child had this disability before the age of 26. So that's the only requirement there as far as the age requirement of 26. But essentially, everything's the same. This does not impede any other benefits that you may receive from the government for your disabled child, but it's used to offset expenses such as education, travel to and from education. I have actually seen some special needs trusts where they did not include that in the trust, and the parents had no way to get their child to or from that school for the services, and it was meaningless for them. The trust was worthless, but it will cover expenses as far as to and from school and those type of accounts. There's no way that this will ever be repealed. But you can go to, where did I get this website? Well, Savings for College will then link you to this, but you can look up the National Disability Institute, and there they will give you all the details on the ABLE Act, some of the highlights and why you would want to do this. It provides you with the limits to how much can be put in. It's the same amount that can go in for the Illinois and Missouri with the same top-end limits. It will cover the expenses that are allowed. It provides information on where to go to set up the account, whether you can have more than one account. And also with the 529 and the 529A, as Larry is alluding to, grandparents or whatever can contribute to that. You can only deduct the money that you put in, not that your grandparents put in for your tax benefit.
True.
But why, you know, don't worry or think that, well, if I have this money set aside, I'm not going to qualify for some of the benefits that I'm already receiving. It does not impact that.
So good to know.
That is Illinois. Missouri Most is very similar to the Illinois account. You have been very patient. You have been very good, Liam. Thank you. Larry will buy you lunch today.
What a deal.
Missouri Most is run by Vanguard, and it's a U-Promise, but run by Vanguard, and in there are the Vanguard and Dimensional, the DFA funds. Some of the differences there, Missouri can contribute up to $325,000 versus the $400,000. Again, you can select the multi-fund portfolios. They offer up to $8,000 per individual or $16,000 for a married couple as far as the deductibility for the Missouri income tax. I will actually probably, since the Illinois program is looking as good as it is, transfer my money from the Missouri Most into the Bright Start program. But Any transfers or anything like that do not count towards deductions. It's only contributions coming out of current income. The fees for the Missouri MOST program, total asset-based expense ratio is 23 basis points up to 0.58. So again, and the Missouri MOST is actually one of the top-rated 529 plans in the country, which is why at that time, many years ago, we started it with Missouri MOST. But these are very easy to set up, very simple to contribute to. Missouri also has the Missouri ABLE. I think every state has their...
I think that's federal.
ABLE version of it. Again, all the features and everything's kind of similar on that end. But again, these are great vehicles. These will help you save for retirement. But please do not help you save for college education. Do not forego your retirement to save for your child's college education, because you're either going to have to move back in with your children, which they probably don't want, or you're just going to have to keep working.
Yeah, and we've been discussing primarily today the fact that you can put money away on a state-wise tax-advantaged basis for future education, whether vocational or primary or secondary education. But don't let that beleaguer the fact that if you didn't have a chance to save or you can't afford to save, students today, there are a lot of resources out there. There are scholarships. I know here at Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, there are a number of scholarships that go untaken. Is that a word? So money is available to go to college, to go to Southwestern Illinois College. SWIC has many programs for vocational education right now. I know a lot of the utility companies, Ameren, as well as many of the others, are looking for people who can work construction, who can work in the utility area. They have free training programs, so my wife happens to be involved in one of those. If there are folks out there who did not get your GED, Madison County is her area of expertise, and she works with those folks, helping them get their GED and then moving on to vocational programs or college. So Southwestern Illinois College is a great resource, Lewis and Clark College, and they do both coordinate here with Southern Illinois University at Edwardsville for transfer of credit, something you want to look at. So if you have a chance and you've funded retirement and whatnot, the 529 is a great program to use. Talk to your financial advisor, and hopefully they will point you in the direction of the program that you can do on your own just by signing up online. So.
Right.
We want to thank the Chef Shop, of course, Nancy and Scott, for underwriting the show, as well as Premier Fiduciary Services. As a supporter of the Financial Cafe here on WSIE-FM 88.7 The Sound, we appreciate all the help. We appreciate the underwriting and the support to get some financial information out there. If you're looking for other shows that talk about in more detail different aspects of financial planning, saving, estate, insurance, I mean, pretty much covers the gamut, wills, trusts, so forth, then go out to www.thefinancialcafe.us, because most all of the shows, except today's, as of this point, are already out there in blog format. You can download, you can listen to them, get more information. And as a follow-up to that, write your questions down, send them to John at jgraney@nickelfinancial.com, or myself at Larry Lexo. It's llexo@nickelfinancial.com. And we will be happy to answer those questions and help you out in any regard related to that. Talking about graduation, you know, segue, John, there's a couple of
have worked it fully today.
Little things, funny graduation sayings. I know we're into July. A lot of our folks have graduated already, but I thought it was a good way to wrap it up, since I know Liam's just ready to go back to school here in a couple of weeks. Yeah, if you could only see his reaction to that one.
That looked like sheer terror.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, we're going to take a picture of that, put it out there. But, you know, graduation is it's a ritual event where they award you a diploma in hope that you've learned enough to be able to read it. Yeah, like that. And the caps and gowns are not just merely goofy outfits, but the first in a lifetime of goofy outfits that you have to wear just to fit in.
I will say that is diminishing. The suit and tie is kind of going the wayside. And I will admit that the tie is probably the most worthless garment I've ever seen created.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Interestingly enough, I heard this morning on the news that Paul Ryan, our leader up in Washington, is introducing, and I have to kind of ask why this is important at this point in time, introducing changes to the House rules, because all legislators, male or female, are required to wear long sleeve shirts. The men are required to wear suits, and they weren't sure about the ties, but they are now thinking about adjusting the dress code in Congress.
Well, at least it gives them the feeling that they can accomplish these meaningless tasks that they're doing something, because they surely are avoiding the important ones that need to be addressed.
They look good. And, of course, after college graduation, you leave the security and safety of the cozy university cocoon, leap into the great wide world of adventure that's the rest of your life. And don't worry, many great adventures start from parents' basements. And on that note, John, say goodbye, John.
Goodbye, John.
You've been listening to The Financial Cafe, airing every Saturday at 9 a.m. on 88.7 WSIE The Sound. Today's show is underwritten by The Chef Shop in Edwardsville, your hometown kitchen accessory store, where a good cup of coffee starts every day right. Listeners are invited to send your questions regarding retirement, investments, or any other financial topic that may pique your interest. Send the questions to John at jgraney@nickelfinancial.com or to Larry at lexo@nickelfinancial.com. John and Larry will discuss those questions each week during their Q&A session. If you prefer, they will respond to you in private. Thanks for listening to The Financial Cafe on 88.7 WSIE The Sound.